the context, we know that it was always Paul's desire to go to Rome. That was always Paul's desire, was to reach those people, to reach the Greeks, to reach these people. He was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And I find it interesting in the 14th verse here that he uses this phrase. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. See, Paul's gifts and Paul's calling are what made him a debtor to the Gentiles. He says, God has gifted me accordingly. God has called me to this ministry. God has given me these opportunities. He's given me these means of transportation. He's given me these friends and these counterparts in the ministry. And He's allowed for me to have this opportunity to serve Him with my life. And because of that, I owe a debt to the people that God wants me to serve. You serve God by serving others. Say amen right there. You serve God by serving others. And so that is why Paul says that he is a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians as well. It's oftentimes a shame when people will waste or squander away the things that God has blessed them with in spite of how good God has been to them. God blesses them with resources. God blesses them with wealth. God blesses them with good health. God blesses them with a good mind. God blesses them with an able body. God gives them all these things, and He allows for them to be used for His glory. And so many oftentimes, we in our own selfishness squander away those things and decide we want to use them for whatever's going to make us happy. That's oftentimes how the cookie crumbles. But Paul says, I realize where I got these gifts. I realize where I got these opportunities. I realize where I got these blessings. And because of those things, I am indebted to God. In Luke chapter number 17, the Bible would say, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's an interesting phrase to think about, isn't it? I saw the other day an evangelist was talking about how preachers and ministers will oftentimes compare themselves to one another. And this preacher will say, well, my church isn't as big as their church, or I can't draw a crowd like he can, or I can't preach like he can, or I can't do this, and I can't, and I can't, and I can't, and I can't, and they do all these things. And he says, when it comes down to it, he says, we're all unprofitable. We're all just debtors. None of us have any other special access to paying the debt that God paid for us. We are all debtors in the sight of God. We all owe a debt that we cannot pay. Now thank God for Calvary's cross, and thank God for free salvation. But because of what Jesus did at Calvary and because of the blood that He shed, we are the purchased possessions of God. We ought to remember that every day of our lives, that we do not belong to ourselves. We are the purchased possession of God. Amen. And Paul was called to the Gentile world. Paul was called to preach to the Gentiles. He says, I'm a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I was called to all of them. It didn't matter who they were. Amen. He says, I'm indebted to them. I have something to bring them. God has called me to do this, and I realize that and I recognize that. And in verse number 15, the Bible says this. He says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. Take just a minute and meditate on what God is trying to say, what Paul is trying to say. He says, I want to preach so bad to you. He says, I want to see you so bad. He said, I want to preach. He said, I want to give you the gospel. He says, I'm ready. He says, I feel like I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this. He said, as soon as I reach you, that's exactly what I'm going to do. He says, I long to preach the gospel to those that are at Rome. And many times, it's like pulling teeth to get people to serve God. Paul says, I'm chomping at the bit just to preach. You know, a lot of times, I believe one of the failures in the lives of many ministers is they treat the calling to preach like it's something they have to do and not something they get to do. I don't have to preach for Wednesday night prayer meeting. I get to preach for Wednesday night prayer meeting. I thank God for that opportunity. I don't take it lightly. I thank God that He'd give me another opportunity to preach His Word, because He knows I don't deserve it. Amen. Paul says, I'm ready to preach the gospel. He says, I'm ready to serve God. And there's many people, many Christians that are lame on their feet and say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I'd rather do this. And I know God's given me these talents and God's blessed me this way, but I want to do this. And there's other people who sit on the sidelines and say, I would do that. I would be that person. I'd be willing. I'd go there. I'd do that. That's something we see too many at times in Christian churches today, is a lot of people aren't willing to do the work. Some people are ready and they're willing, but they're not necessarily called to do what those who God wants them to do are called to do.
Amen.
He was ready to preach at Rome. And in verse number 16, I want to talk a little bit about Paul's message. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." You know, a lot of people don't even know what that word gospel means. A lot of people don't know what that means. It means good news. That's what it means. And so what's the good news, preachers? The good news is that Jesus saves. That Jesus Christ died, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. And if you'll believe on that Jesus Christ, if you'll believe on the only begotten Son of God, He will save your soul from everlasting hell. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. And Paul has some things to say about this message in the 16th verse right here. The first and foremost thing that I'd like to point out to you here this evening is the boldness of his message. The boldness of his message. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I was reading one commentator. Man, those guys, those old commentators that wrote Bible commentaries, man, they can cut you deep. And one guy, he said it, he was an English guy, so he said it a lot more eloquently than some hick from West Virginia like me could say it. But he said something to this extent. He said, "A Christian who is ashamed of the gospel is a shame to the gospel." He said, "A Christian who's ashamed to preach the gospel is a shame to the gospel." The Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 10, the glorious Romans road, we find where it ends there in chapter number 10, and the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you know what the very next verse says in verse number 11? It says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed."
Amen.
Shall not be ashamed. I tell you, there's a lot of Christians who are ashamed to share the gospel. They're ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed to tell people what they believe. Here on earth, that will be very ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. You and I will stand account for the things that we did here on this earth, and whether or not we acknowledged God and gave Him the glory and preached the gospel and shared the gospel and were a faithful witness the way that we should have been while we were here on earth. God's blessed us with all the resources we need. We got thousands of gospel tracts in this church. Every one of us can talk and share the gospel with people. And so many oftentimes we squander away those things, just like Paul mentioned just a minute ago. He said, "I'm in debt to these things." He says, "I'm indebted to do these things." He says, I have to be bold in my faith. You know, perhaps the Romans might have thought that Paul was going to be laughed at and mocked at. See, the Greeks, they were deep into philosophy. Still today, if you go to big universities and you study philosophies, these people will get up and they teach you what some Greek guy said thousands of years ago that it doesn't make a hill of beans. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense half the time. But they thought they were the upper crust. They were the highfalutin crowd. They had the wisdom. And you get somebody in there like Paul, a Jew who was converted to Christ, who's preaching this new gospel, he was going to get laughed at. He was going to get mocked. He was going to get made fun of. And Paul knew that. But he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let me ask you something, Christian. Have you ever been laughed at? Have you ever been mocked? You ever been made fun of? You ever caught people making fun of you for being a Christian, for preaching the gospel? I hope you have, because if you have, it means you're doing something right. You know what happened to the disciples in the book of Acts when they were persecuted for righteousness' sake? They thanked God that they were counted worthy. Amen. To suffer for the righteousness of Christ. If you've ever been made fun of, if you've ever felt any kind of opposition or any kind of persecution in your school, in your workplace, in the midst of your family, you ought to thank God for it, that He would use you as a vessel to preach the Word of God, to share the Word of God with a lost and dying world. And listen to me, Paul wasn't necessarily living in the same day and age and times we are living in. See, he didn't live in the United States in 2018. Paul was living in a day and age where they were literally killing people for preaching the gospel.
Amen.
They were literally beheading people. They were literally crucifying people. They were flaying people. They were roping people up by their ankles and dragging them through the streets. They were doing all these things. They were killing entire families for preaching this message that Paul was preaching. And still yet, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We see the boldness in his message. In face of all that distress and all that true persecution, something you and I wouldn't know anything about, Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Oftentimes today's Christian will get ashamed simply when it makes it an inconvenient situation or an awkward situation at the workplace or at the lunch table to share the gospel. This message is not one to be tucked away. It's not one to be hid. You know, I believe you learn some of the best theology you ever get when you're a small child in Sunday school and in junior church. Those songs you sing. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. That's good preaching. Because what your flesh wants is to hide that.
Amen.
What your flesh wants is to tuck that away. What your pride wants is to put that candle away. Mm-hmm. But Paul said, I'm going to let it shine. Amen. We see the boldness of his message. Not only do we see the boldness of Paul's message, but we see the blessing of his message. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There is no other message that has ever been conveyed, no other truth that has been taught on the face of this earth that has the gravity and the magnitude and the importance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the very eternal destination of souls relies on the preaching of that message.
Amen.
Paul says, why am I not ashamed to preach the gospel? He says, because I know it's your only hope. It's your only hope for salvation. He tells those Greeks, he tells those Romans, he says, you can mock, you can scoff, you can laugh, you can persecute me, but I'm doing my best and I'm sent from God to tell you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him.
Amen.
The power of God's saving grace is in the gospel message. Without the power of God, the gospel is a dead letter.
Amen.
It's a story. But because it's true, because it's real, because God's power and His saving grace is in that message, it is a blessing beyond anything else you and I could ever comprehend.
Amen.
Do you remember the preacher that shared the gospel with you? Do you remember the Sunday school teacher that shared the gospel with you? The mama, the daddy, whoever it might have been that sat you down and took the Bible and told you were a sinner, that you were on your way to hell, and if you didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly where you were going to go, but that He would save you, that He died on the cross to pay for your sins, that He shed His blood for you, that He gloriously resurrected the third day, and if you'd simply call on Him by faith, if you'd believe the gospel, He'd save you. That is the power of God right there. And if you're in here tonight and you're saved, you got it. You can share it. You can be that witness. You can leave that tract. You can knock on that door. You can make that phone call. You can send that letter. You can go to that nursing home. You can go to that jail. You can go to that street corner. You can go to that pulpit, whatever it might be. God can use you to preach the gospel.
Amen.
It's the most serious thing anyone could ever do with their life is tell somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
I remember I was talking to some high schoolers a few years back. We had a Bible club at the high school I graduated from, and I was there preaching that day, and they were talking about this and that, and they were talking about being cool, and I said, that's just a lie from the devil. I said, he wants you to think that's what's important is being cool. I said, you want to know the coolest thing I ever did was tell somebody about Jesus. What the world thinks is cool, what the devil thinks is cool, that's not what's important. What's important is to keep the main thing, and to be used as a vessel for the glory of God. And He has commanded, not suggested, He has commanded that each of us share the gospel message with the lost and dying world.
Amen.
It's expected of us. We're indebted to Him. Thank God for the blessing of the message. Amen. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You could tell that to the Calvinist, amen. To everyone that believeth. Not only do we see the boldness of the message and the blessing of the message, but we see the broadness of the message. I like this right here. I'll read it again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now I understand what Paul is saying there. It's not necessarily that you have to be Jewish or of Greek descent to receive the gospel. He says, we brought the gospel to the Jewish people and they rejected it. We brought the Messiah to the Jewish people and they rejected it. And because of that, the door is open for the Gentile nations to accept God. And that was always God's plan. You've got to believe that in here this evening. There was no plan B with God. It was always God's plan for salvation to be brought to the Gentiles. You go back in there in the Old Testament, you read about that olive branch. And I'm not going to run this rabbit tonight, but that tree, that olive tree, that's Israel. And that wild branch that's grafted in, that's the church. That's what the prophets didn't see. That's what God showed them, but they didn't recognize it. They didn't realize it has always been God's plan. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You better thank God in here tonight that God opened up salvation to the Gentiles. Amen. And Paul says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We can look a little bit more at that context there. And Luke says in Acts chapter number 13, he says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you." See, the Jewish people, they were angry. They'd gone to the synagogues. They'd gone to the Jewish communities. They said, listen, Christ has come. You crucified him. He resurrected. He offers free salvation to all those who believe. And they said, we don't want it. We want to reject it. And so God sends them to the Gentiles. And Luke says, "But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy for everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And in Colossians chapter number 3, this same man, the Apostle Paul, would write to the church at Colossae. He says, "Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man that is in his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but in Christ is all and in all." Amen. Hey, I'm glad it is a universal salvation. My pastor, Pastor John Smith, he always says it this way. He says, black, yellow, brown, and white, they're all precious in God's sight. Amen. It doesn't matter how high the mountaintop is. It doesn't matter how low the valley is. The blood of Christ can cleanse each of us from our wickedness, from our sin. That's exactly how powerful it is. If the gospel you preach can only reach a certain group of people, that's not the gospel of the Bible, and that gospel doesn't have any power behind it. Amen. See, the Bible says in Mark chapter number 6:15, as Jesus would have sent his disciples out during the Great Commission, he says, "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I want everybody to say that with me tonight. Say it with me. Every creature. Amen right there. I hear preachers all the time say, just downright junk in the pulpit, say, well, that person can't be saved. They're reprobate, they're damned, and I know it. That's ridiculousness. It's sad. Christ can save to the uttermost. Listen to me, friend. When God called Paul to Rome, he wasn't calling him to a bunch of clean-cut conservatives, okay?
Amen.
You study the people of Rome. You want to talk about, I mean, I know it's wicked today. Believe me, I believe we're living in the days of Noah. But listen to me, friend. Sin's just as old as Adam and Eve is. You look at the stuff they were doing in Rome. How wicked and how perverse and how ungodly those things they were doing in Rome was. You know what Paul said? Paul says, I have a desire to reach those people. Paul says, I know Christ. I know the gospel. I know the power of God. And I know it can change those people. Might have puzzled Peter a little bit. Peter got caught up running with a crowd that said, well, we'll have our church, but they can have their church. They're different than us. They're Gentiles. They're dogs. We don't want nothing to do with that. And Paul said, there's no difference. The circumcision availeth not. There's no difference whether bond or free in Christ. That's the broadness of the message that Paul preached. That's the power of the gospel, is that anyone can be saved who believes. There's a bunch of Calvinism and Reformed Baptist junk makes me sick. It's sad. Say that Christ's death on the cross was efficacious for just a few. One of my friends, y'all can pray for me. I'm preaching Friday night. I'm preaching revival in Charleston for Dr. Fred Christian. He was talking with the pastor of a Calvinist church, a Baptist church in Charleston, and they were talking about Calvinism. Dr. Christian asked him what he thought about Calvary and about the limited atonement that they believe in and all these things. And that preacher told him, he said, if Jesus Christ died on the cross and His blood paid for the sins of the world and there are still people in hell, he said, Calvary was the biggest failure in the history of mankind. That's what he said. Now listen to me, friend. If a gift is purchased and given to you and you refuse to accept it, that doesn't mean it wasn't paid for. Jesus' death on the cross, He tasted death for every man. It don't matter who you are, God can save you. God can change you. That's the power of the gospel message. And Paul preached it with such boldness. He preached it with such brilliance. He preached it to the wise. He preached it to the unwise. He preached it to the Greeks. He preached it to the barbarians. He preached it to the Jews. He preached it to them at Ephesus. He preached it to them at Rome. He gave His life for it. He understood just how important this message was. And I beg you tonight, if the gospel is not the most important thing in your life, if God is not number one in your life tonight, you need to get that right. You need to get that right tonight. Because God wants to use you. God wants to use you to be a soul winner. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to use all of us to be a soul winner. I don't have to know what your spiritual gifts are to know that I know that God wants you to be a soul winner. Because He wants all of us to. You might have a family member. You might have a friend. It's off in sin. Living like a devil. Living wicked. And you think to yourself, there's no hope for him. That's not what the gospel message says. The gospel message says, it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're in here tonight and you're in the congregation and you want to come and you want to pray for a loved one. Maybe you want to pray God would help you to be a better soul winner. Maybe you want to pray that God would help you to be a better witness. Maybe you want to come and pray for someone who's lost and wayward. Or maybe they've given up on preaching the gospel. Maybe they've given up on being a witness. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and get a hold of God and say, God, forgive me for my lack of boldness. God, forgive me for those times that I don't recognize and realize the importance and the magnitude of preaching the gospel. And I know that You want to use me in my life. God, help me to understand these things. God's wanting to use this church.
Saved. You don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You're not sure if you died, whether you'd be in heaven or hell. It's as simple as believing the gospel tonight.